first of all, we're going to look at why does it really matter? So why should we care about our health? And we'll start at the very beginning. And it's quite simple, actually, because God made us. And so if we look in Genesis, the first chapter, start reading in verse 26. That God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And so to start, it's quite simple. And so God gave us a body, and he made us in his image. Not that he looks like we do, but that we're spiritual beings. But from the physical perspective, God still gave us what we have. Okay? Now next we'll turn to 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So if we go all the way back to verse 12 in that passage, it's a discussion of spiritual immorality and really taking care, abstaining from spiritual immorality because of from a physical perspective, the dangers of it is really what's addressed in the passage. And so we can carry that over. You know, we know we should abstain from spiritual immorality, but we also should take care of ourselves and our bodies because God gave them to us. The last passage I would like to take a look at is Romans 12, and we'll start in verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So our service is really what God wants from us. And so that's the bottom line of this passage, is that we should take care of ourselves and we should serve him. So I'm just going to continue pushing buttons, and then Buzz will just decide I want the next one, so he'll flip it. Okay. So what does it really mean? What's the bottom line that we have to deal with? And it's actually quite simple. You and me, as Christians, we have a responsibility to take care of what God gave us. And I've put a couple words up there in red and one word in yellow. And so we have you and we have God. And so God gave it to us. It's our job to take care of it. And this concept really isn't much different than as far as a responsibility to many different things that we apply from the church. We've been given the gospel, and it's our job to do something with it. We've been given a physical body, and so it's our job to take care of it so you know we can do something with it in God's service. I got it figured out now. We're good. So this program that I'm going to present to you this evening It's a program that I do for different businesses, for small groups, Kiwanis Club, that sort of thing. And it's called the Peak Energy Challenge. What we're looking to do is that since we have this responsibility to take care of ourselves, then how can we do this? And I mentioned before that the tofu and green tea, some of those things are great for us. They are not easy to do. And so this program, it's really very, very simple. There's 7 steps that are involved. Until I hit the wrong button again. So anyway, there's 7 steps that are involved. And these 7 steps really lead us to more energy and more productivity, which is what we're all trying to accomplish. Too far. Okay. So the things that we're looking to accomplish, and you read these and many people think, well, that can't really happen. Let me assure you, I've seen it over and over and over again. It really does happen. So how can we increase our energy 40%? How can we increase our productivity 40%? Like to reduce stress 50%? This is all starting to sound pretty good, I know. Then how can we help our body function at a peak level? How do we strengthen our structure? How do we improve our coordination and safety? And how do you increase mental clarity up to 33%? Now, these things, you know, they're all obtainable. The fantastic thing is they're obtainable in 14 days. So this isn't something that's overly complicated, as you'll see the 7 steps that we're going to go through. It's real, it's very, very doable, and it's something that each of us can do. It creates a lifestyle, and that's what we're aiming towards. It's not how can we have a special diet or go on a crash program, but how can we change our daily lives in something that's simple to incorporate to where we can accomplish these 7 things that we want to accomplish out of this program. So the next thing, 95% of all Americans, when they're surveyed, say they do not have enough energy. And so that includes, I would guess there's 100 people in here. So if we surveyed, that means there would be 5 people who said that, you know, they wake up in the morning, they feel great, the day goes well, and they're just ready to go full of energy. So now how I think this applies to what we do for God and for His service. I was just trying to think of things that myself personally, and the example I came up with that, because I know that I've had this reason before. Monday night for the Masters is tomorrow night. And so if you're not sure if you have enough energy, and you don't need to raise your hand, but answer to yourself, when Monday night for the Masters rolls around, you've worked all day, you've dealt with the kids, everything that's gone on, and it hits about 5:30 and you're thinking about going and you're saying, nah, I'm just too tired, I'm not going to make it tonight, right? And so you might have been there, I know I certainly have been there, where you really just don't feel like going after a long day. And so how this can lead to God's service, if we create more energy, we can just do more things. Some of you might have known someone that falls into that 5%. That would be the person that you might work with them, and you see them go through the day, and they're not scattered and run around frantic, but the day's structured. They accomplish a tremendous amount of things. In fact, they accomplish so much that when you watch them, you get tired watching them. Does anyone know someone like that? Have someone like that in your office? And you're really not sure how it happens. Well, I can assure you it does not happen by chance. People that have that type of energy, they do things to make sure that they have that type of energy to get through the day. So now I've got a great fact for everyone here. A common misconception is I'm too old to have energy. Energy, a primary factor concerning how much energy you have is not your age. And so you no longer have that excuse. That I'm too old, I'm supposed to be lethargic, I'm supposed to sit on the couch and watch TV. That doesn't work anymore. At least not around me. Well, at least not around me, that does not work. So just to get us started, let's answer a few questions. Just answer them to yourself. And if you're a little uncertain on that, are you in that 5% or the 95%? Let's just go through these questions, and then I think it'll create some clarity. The thing I want you to do is when people discuss their health, they often minimize things, meaning that, you know, well, I've really got more energy than he's leading on to. And so I deal with it all the time with patients. But just answer the questions honestly to yourself. I feel out of gas at one time of the day or more. I require coffee or soda in the morning to get me started. This applies to, I think, about 80% of all Americans. That's why Starbucks is in business. I'm overweight or out of condition. I don't want to get complicated with this one. What we're going to use is the rule for this one on overweight. If you feel like if you lost 10 pounds, you would feel better, this one's going to count for you. Okay? Now, the out of condition. If the fire alarm went off in the building and we all had to run out into the parking lot and you needed the paramedics to come get you to help you get out the building, you're out of condition. Okay? So those two qualifications, I think those are pretty simple to answer. I find myself daydreaming during the workday. I've been told I have arthritis. I feel I am under the physical effects of stress. And lastly, I take medications to improve how I feel. Now, be honest. How many of you know there is some action that you can take that improve how you feel and how you function? I want to see hands on this one. It's pretty well everyone that's here. And so there's steps that we know we can do. It's just we need to find a way to implement them and make them so they're simple and they're part of what we do every day. We've really gone through a big transformation, I think, in the last 5 to 7 years with healthcare and the way that people look at health. We went through a phase where everything was not my responsibility. During the 80s, as genetic research grew and grew and grew, they looked at disease, and at one point I had seen in the 80s, looking back on research, that all health conditions, or over 90% of health conditions were related to genetics. As we go, they keep knocking more and more things off the list, and so some of the latest numbers I've seen are closer to like 35%. Some of those, it doesn't mean because you've got the gene you're going to get it. It just means you have a predisposition to it, so it's slightly more likely, so you can still do things to protect your health. The great thing is, it's a day and age we're in now, people are moving away from looking at other people to take responsibility for their health, meaning that we don't look, it still happens, but it's not as prevalent in that you've got a condition, you take a pill, it's not your responsibility. So what we want is we want people to take responsibility for their own health and then to take these action steps to really work on themselves. So now the 7 steps. This is a great program because, you know, biblically, it's a biblical number. So it's got to be 7 or 40. 40 steps is way too hard to follow. So we're going to stick with the 7. We're going to go through each of these. So the first one is portioned combination of macronutrients or portioned eating. Number 2 is proper water intake. Number 3 is nutritional supplementation. Number 4 is powering down and rest. Number 5 is nerve body stress reduction therapies. Number 6 is time management. And number 7 is spinal conditioning. We can also call this core training or exercise. So let's get started. So I guess someone's not thinking this is too easy. So we're going to go through it. We're going to see how it's quite simple. So let's go through the macronutrients. So protein. Protein is it's an amino acid that are used for living tissues to build. They're in foods primarily meat, fish, and some vegetables. Now, a few different facts about protein. Proteins are required for growth and repair of the body. Incorrect portions of proteins have been linked to health conditions such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, fatigue in others. Proteins, when they're properly proportioned, have been shown to increase overall energy and well-being. Carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are food like broccoli and potatoes. They break down into simple sugars that our body uses for fuel. On the next slide, the facts are going to look very, very familiar. Fact number one, the average American meal is 5 to 7 times too high in carbohydrates compared to proteins. Number two, which is the same as it was for proteins, that in improper portions, carbohydrates have been linked to cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and others. But when it's properly portioned, it can be beneficial to overall energy and well-being. Now, the last one is fats. Fats really got a bad name in the 90s. We're kind of coming out of that just a little bit. It really was a market. It related heavily to marketing. You can eat your Oreo cookies, but as long as they're fat-free, they're okay. Really not true. And so what we need to know is that fats are important, and they're actually good for you when they're properly portioned because they serve a function in our body. So fats are used to the body as reserve fuel and to lubricate joints. They are found in most foods to a varying degree naturally. Now, fats are required in small amounts for various functions of the body, including supportive connective tissue. When they're in incorrect portions, I'm sounding like a broken record now on this one, it's been linked to cardiovascular disease, diabetes, fatigue, and other health problems. But when they're properly portioned, it's important to health and energy. So let's just take a look at the typical American lunch or dinner out. And most of you would look at the categories on the left side and say, well, this looks like a pretty healthy meal, right? And so let's just go through the list. So we've got bread, and we're going to categorize each of these. Bread, well, we've got our first carbohydrate. We can have a Coke, iced tea, something of that nature. Well, now we're getting a little bit lopsided. Now we get to the salad. Well, we're healthy now, right? You're on the salad. Salad's good for you. Well, salad is good for you, but we just stacked another one in the carbohydrate category. Now we have chicken. We can finally break that carbohydrate tendency that we're having. So we've got protein and just a little bit of fat. Now we have the potato. We're on carbohydrates again. Vegetable, carbohydrate. And we just really mess everything up when we get to the last one. So you can see that this typical American dinner out is not balanced. And when I say balance, I don't mean the food groups. I mean really just the macronutrients. We're getting much, much simpler. And so when we look to balance these things, we're going to make this as simple as possible. So what does balance mean and what's proper portioning? Does everyone hold up their hand for me? Okay. We're going to take the palm of our hand, the size of the palm of our hand, and the thickness of our hand is one portion. Okay? And so what we want is we want one portion carbohydrate, one portion protein, and a tenth portion fat. And so the tenth portion, let's just say it's about the end of our thumb. Okay? Now the fat you're not going to have to worry about getting because in just about, especially all your meats, you're going to have fat that's already there. And so we don't need to add, we certainly don't need to add fat because we're already going to get it. So some of you are thinking, well, I eat way more than that. And so I'm not even going to go into how much you eat. What I want you to be aware of, though, is if you need to eat more, how much you consume still needs to be portioned. Meaning, the largest patient I've ever had was, he was 6'10 and weighed about 370. And so we would starve him to death if he ate one portion, tenth portion. So what, for him, you know, he might eat five portions, and then five tenth portions, but the meals still need to be portioned. Okay? Any questions? All right. We'll move on. See, so step number one, it's really not that complicated. We didn't even have to do the tofu and green tea. So Step number two, proper water intake. When I talk to patients, I love this one. Yeah, a couple of you got water here. That's great. So when I talk to patients, when I ask them how much water they consume, the number one response is not enough. They never will tell me how much that is. They just tell me they don't consume enough. And so let's look at a couple of the benefits of water consumption. When the American Dermatologists, their society or association, was surveyed, what's the number one factor that they can find in people with healthy skin? And the number one answer that they came back with was that people with healthy skin consume more water than those people who do not have healthy skin. So we've also got more vitality, clear complexion for so the skin, higher energy levels, improved mental clarity, and improved lymphatic drainage are a couple of the other things that are associated. Now, some of you might want to know, a really important one up here is the improved mental clarity. Why is that true? Well, our bodies are over 80% water. Our brain and nervous system is over 90% water. And the process that allows our nervous system to function, you might have heard the term, you know, it might not be nice to talk about someone this way, but that it's not jumping the gap, you know, meaning that the mental processes just aren't really occurring as clear as they should. Well, that actually is very, very true, because when a person gets dehydrated, the process by which our nerves transmit information is an electrochemical process. And it has to occur in an aqueous solution, meaning that there has to be water present. So if there's no water present, literally things do not jump the gap as clear as they should. And so when you start to get dehydrated, then your mental clarity suffers. You still can think, but you just can't process things as well as you should. Now, how much water is enough? We're going to make this really, really simple. We're going to take a 200-pound person. We're going to divide the weight in half. So 200 divided by 2 is 100. That person should drink 100 ounces of water a day. So all you're going to do is you're going to take your body weight, you're going to divide it in 2, and that's how much water you should consume on an average day. The reason most people, you know, have the 6 to 8 glasses of water in mind, and for some people, that is going to fall in that 6 to 8 glass range. We'll go back to the patient I had one time that was 6'10", 260. If he consumed 8 glasses a day, he would be extremely dehydrated just because of how large he was. So, now, another important fact about water is not coffee, tea, or soda. If it has a taste, except for West Palm Beach water, we had lunch today, I don't know, so, and but if it has a taste, or if you can't see through it, then it's not water. Your body recognizes H2O as water. It processes it very, very quickly. When you've got other things added into it, it's not as readily bioavailable as pure water is. Okay? So this just goes into a little more detail on that. When you add things, even if you start with pure water, you know, you add Kool-Aid. Crystal Light's a real common thing if people think they're getting their water, but they started with a great thing, which is water, and then they added chemicals to it, and so it's just not there for your body like it should be. Now, these rules apply for your kids as well. So some kids will drink more. I know Kayla, our daughter, she weighs 32 pounds. I'm certain she drinks at least 32 ounces of water a day. And so you'll find with kids, once they get used to drinking water, they like water. And it's a great thing to start your kids with it, because then they don't have to reform habits when they get older and want to start taking a little more responsibility for their health. Now, step number 3, nutritional supplementation. So everyone needs a high-quality multi-mineral and multivitamin. Now, some people are caught a little bit off guard with this one, and then we're going to go into why. Why is supplementation important? In the 1940s, if you ate a bowl of salad, there would be a certain amount of nutrition in that bowl. today, how many bowls of salad would you have to consume to get the same amount of nutrition? It says at the bottom, and the amount, it's a little bit staggering when you first read it. It's 15 to 20 bowls of salad to get the same amount of nutrition. Now, why has this occurred? And that is because of many of the farming techniques that we use. We've got over 250 million people in this country. There's a lot of farming techniques that, as far as the nutrients in the food are concerned, it's not the number one focus. The focus is how can we get the most potatoes off of this field? And so when you put things in that perspective, then food loses its nutritional value. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I know they fertilize the fields. The primary things that are in fertilizer are nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus. If you read on any bag that you're going to spread on your garden, those are the three minerals that are in it. And so we don't replenish fields with all the trace minerals that are also important to the way our body works. Had questions before. What about organic? Organic is certainly an improvement. And so it absolutely, you know, I can't say that organic today would be one-to-one to the 1940s. I haven't seen any research on that, but I know that the mineral content and the vitamin content of organic food is much, much higher than, they call it traditional produce now, is what many of the grocery stores call it. So with these supplements, many of you might know, it's kind of confusing a little bit where to start. And so your health professional can help you. Also, there's many, many different health food stores that are around. The staff is very knowledgeable at many of these stores, and they can help you with what type of product you should get. There's also a simple rule that you can use if you've got something at home, you know, from whatever store. We'll use Eckerd, so I don't, you know, insult any store because they're not in business anymore. And say you've got that bottle of vitamins from Eckerd's and you want to know, is it doing me any good? You can take apple cider vinegar. Vinegar's an acid. I've read that it's very, very close to the way your stomach would dissolve something. You can drop that vitamin in the apple cider vinegar. If it dissolves in 15 minutes, it's probably dissolving in your system. If it doesn't dissolve in 15 minutes, it's probably not doing you a lot of good. Because I've seen, especially with minerals, minerals that come in a pill form that look like concrete, they basically are concrete. You can drop them in that apple cider vinegar. I've left them 3, 4, 5 hours, and it's exactly the same size that when it started. And so, now granted, we don't have, our stomach churns and moves things, so it would help dissolve things somewhat that way. But as far as the pH and the acidity, it's similar to that apple cider vinegar. So that's a pretty good test. So that's why the recommendation is a multi-mineral and a multivitamin. Step number four is rest. And many people, when they think of rest, they think sleep. You know, that's the first thing that pops in their mind. And we've all heard that 6 to 8 hours of sleep. I think the same person made that up that made up the 6 to 8 glasses of water. So that was the same person. So, but what I really want to talk about is we're going to call this powering down. So what we're going to do is through the day, we're going to pick 2, 3, 4, 5 times, however many you can come up with. And for 2 to 5 minutes, I want you to mentally power down. So that means if you're sitting at your desk and things are hectic through the day, take quiet time for yourself. And so if you need to turn off the phone, if you need to unplug the phone, whatever you need to do to have some quiet time to mentally refresh. Because we're very, very driven in this country, and so we go, 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 go. And if we just have a short period of time where we can just really focus on ourselves and not be thinking about what we've got to do, what the kids need done, the laundry done, the everything else that has to be done. So just to have this quiet time. So we're halfway through. Nothing's too hard yet, right? And some people are just overwhelmed, but that's because you need to do the program and then you'll have more energy and you can handle the steps easier. So now we go step number five. Nerve body stress reduction therapies is what we're going to call this category. Chiropractic care is first. The reason that's first is because that's what I do, and I think it's important, and I made the slide so I can make it first. The other things that I would put in this category are stretching, acupressure, acupuncture, physical therapy, trigger point therapy, rehabilitation, and exercise. There are many, many other things that you probably could think of that go up here, and some of them would be great recommendations. All of these, though, we're looking for how we can make our bodies function better. One of the main things that makes our body not function well is stress. We all have it. It's just how we handle it. And so these things, we can put stress into three categories, basic categories. We have physical stresses. Those are, you've got a 100-pound box that you know you should get help moving, but you decide not, and so you're going to pick it up yourself. That's a physical stress. We have emotional stresses. These happen all through the day. We've got relationships. We've got job pressure, a number of other things that you can think of that would fall under emotional stresses. And then the last stress is chemical stress. Chemical stress, everyone thinks, oh, that's not me. And the first thing that does pop to mind, of course, is illegal type drugs. Some prescribed drugs can also create a chemical stress. They're to work on one thing. We've all seen the disclaimers. Sometimes the disclaimers get longer than the commercials because there are just concerns of things. And so those are chemical stresses. Also, that Coke or that cup of coffee, those also create chemical stresses on the body. And so these are things that you can look to do to how we can decrease the effect that stress has on us. Number six is time management. We could work on this on a whole quarter, but we're going to make this very, very simple because time management can get a little bit overwhelming. And so we're going to look at one aspect of time management. We're going to call this stacking. If you have a desk, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't, congratulations, you're way ahead on this step. So first of all, stacking wastes time, and it occupies space on our mental hard drive, and it creates unnecessary stress. And some of you might say, well, I'm not sure about that. Okay, we're going to open the mail. So let's all open the mail together, right? You've got this stack that, first of all, the postman stacks, but that's just the way it works. So we open the mail, and you put it in a pile. And you open the next thing, and you put it in a pile. You open the next thing, you put it in a pile. 3 days later, what happens? You have to go through the pile again. And then we still didn't take care of the pile, so 3 days later, what happens? We get to go through the pile again. And so you can see how this happens. This wastes time, and it creates anxiety and problems. So to eliminate our stacking problem, we're going to do four very, very simple things. When we get that mail, and let's just use the mail because I think it's the easiest example. You open something, you're going to have four options. One, you're going to act on it. So if there's a bill that needs to be paid, you're going to pay the bill. The next thing that we can do with it is we need to have some sort of organization or filing system. And so let's say that bill isn't due for 30 days and so you don't want to pay it today. Well, it needs to go in a spot where you know that you need to take action on it and that it'll be in 30 days that you'll take action on it. So if you make a very, very simple filing system on just how to organize things that come in the mail. Next, we can delegate it. Might be something that I open. It's not something I'm supposed to take care of. It's for Leah. Go ahead and take care of it then. Don't put it in the pile. You might make that part of your filing system is to have the spouse folder or whatever that might be for someone else to take care of it. Now, the last one, this probably applies to 80% of all of our mail. Throw it away. Don't put it in a pile. If you know you're not going to use it and it's of no value to you, just go ahead and get rid of it. And so this isn't going to completely eliminate our stacking, but it certainly will be a huge, huge help to start whittling it down. Now next, there we go. we're going to call spinal conditioning. This also, you can call it core training. There's going to be aspects of stretching. There's a bunch of things that are involved. And so repetitive injuries we're all aware of, and we think of repetitive injuries, the common things that our society thinks of is like carpal tunnel syndrome, those sorts of things where we're doing the same thing over and over again. But they can occur all throughout our daily lives. So it can be doing yard work, cleaning out the car, playing sports, lifting kids, carrying groceries, and repetitive injuries can also lead to weaknesses that potentially could lead to slips and falls. So why do we need to prevent injuries and improve our body's ability to function? Earlier, I asked you a question about you've been told you've had arthritis before. And so when we talked about all these injuries, or when we discussed the injuries and why we should look to prevent them, arthritis in this country is a $65 billion per year disease. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of productivity with employees. It's really a staggering number. And so now when I say arthritis, we're talking about osteoarthritis, which that's the wear and tear arthritis that is commonly associated with aging. So what we can do is if we make sure that our bodies are moving better and functioning better, then we certainly can have an impact on this thing called arthritis. And so not only from the financial perspective, but just the perspective of feeling well. You know, it might be someone here that your hands are sore in the mornings or your knees ache or those sorts of things. And so if we can do some very simple things to help not necessarily prevent it completely, but if we can delay its onset, maybe we can reduce some of the symptoms, then those are all things we should look to do. Now, can someone help me with how I am on time?
13 minutes.
Perfect. Yeah. I've got elders telling me no. 8 minutes. All right. We're going to get the power program then here very, very quickly. So I've got handouts for everyone. I'm going to let Leah go ahead and hand these out. We'll start with these. Now, we should have enough. If you're couples and can share, I think I've got enough copies, but I might not. And so, as a healthcare provider, I've got to put my disclaimer on this first. If you have any pain or discomfort when doing any of these, then stop. And then ask a professional, whether it be a healthcare professional or a personal trainer, if someone of that nature, who can help you. These exercises, though, have really been designed that where they're going to fit 95% of the population, and that's not 95% of the gym-going population, that's just 95% of the people that are out there. So I'm going to stand right up here, and so everyone can see me a little better, and we're going to go through these extremely quickly. So some of these exercises, I'm so glad the elders are here because, we can do Jazzercise as part of the program for church now. So, no, but the first one that's on the list is called grinding corn. Some of these are from like yoga and Tai Chi moves, but they're very, very simple. And so with grinding corn, all you're going to do is your feet are going to be a little wider apart than shoulder width. You're just going to bend your knees. You hold your hands out front. And you keep your body upright. And so we're just going to slide very rhythmically side to side. It doesn't seem like you're doing much. After about a minute, your legs, you'll realize that you are doing something. So we're going to do that for 2 minutes. The next one is called push-pull. And so you're just going to have one foot out in front of the other. And you're going to push. And then you're going to pull. And you're going to push and pull. We're going to do that for 2 minutes. After 1 minute, you're going to switch legs. So next is crunches. I get my mini workout while I go through the program. Crunches are not a sit-up. It's very, very different. The movement's really small with a crunch. And so what you want to think about is just moving your shoulders towards the ceiling. And so a crunch is here. That's all the movement. Okay? So now we have a twist. You're also going to be lying on your back, and you're just going to let your knees are going to be up, and you just want your knees to fall to each side in a very slow, controlled movement. A lunge, we do stationary lunges, which means you go ahead and get in the lunge position, and you want to go down. Make sure your knee doesn't go in front of your toe. Okay? And so if it does, then your body is in a compromised position where you potentially can do injuries to your knee. Push-ups. Some of you are saying, there's no way I haven't been able to do a push-up in 50 years. A push-up does not have to be done on the floor. You can find a great way to do a push-up is just on a wall. And so the farther your feet are away from the wall, the more resistance you're creating to do the push-up. Towel rows. I don't have a towel. But what you're going to do is you're just going to be on the floor again, and you'll loop a towel under your foot or a belt or something in that nature, and then you're just going to row like you're rowing a boat. Okay? Lateral raises. Now, the last few, some of them require a little bit of resistance, or you don't have to do them with resistance at all. Now that we're all drinking more water, we're going to have lots of water bottles around the house. So if you don't have weights, everyone's going to have water bottles, and so water bottles work well as resistance. So we're going to do a few different things with the water bottles. We're going to do a lateral raise, which you're just going to bring your arms straight out to the side. We'll do a military press, which you're going to press over your head. We'll do a bicep curl, which you can alternate. You can do both together. You can do one arm at a time. Most of you know what those movements are. A kickback. You're going to have your bottle of water. You're going to lean slightly forward, and then you're just going to straighten your arm to the back. Okay? The last one is arm swings. And the arm swings, you'll just take one arm and go opposite with your light weights, with your water bottles, in this fashion. Okay? So that's the exercises. Remember, if it hurts, stop. And also, as you're going through the exercises, do not forget to breathe. We can live days and days. Some people can live up to a month without food. We can live about a week without water. We can live 8 minutes without air. And so breathing is extremely important. Now the stretches. Go over the stretches last because we want to make sure our bodies are warmed up before we stretch. Good example is put a rubber band in the freezer, take the rubber band out, stretch the rubber band. What happens? The rubber band breaks. And so our muscles somewhat work the same way. When our muscles are cold, you have a higher tendency for injury. So if you haven't done the exercises, then take a warm shower, go for a walk, something before you stretch. Don't just wake up, hop out of bed, and do your stretches. So for the stretches, we're going to have reach for the stars. So it's just what it sounds like. You're just going to make yourself tall. And so just really reach up tall. We're going to skip to number 3, which is grabbing the sun. Because grabbing the sun, we're also going to be tall, but our feet are just going to be a little bit apart. And we're just going to reach across both directions. Open your chest. So you just start with your hands out front. Bring your hands back. You really want to arch your back and feel like you're opening your chest up. This is a great one for people that work at the computer all day because our posture gets like this when we sit at the computer. And so just to stand up, you know, your coworkers might laugh, but you're going to feel better, so it doesn't matter. And just really open the chest up. The neck stretches, we want to make sure we do our neck stretches in the ranges of motion. And so the ranges of motion are... not get too technical, reset the mind. Okay, so we're just going to come over to each side and then forward and back. And you want to apply, the instructions for those are actually there. You can apply pressure with your hand, but you really just want it to be like the weight of your arm. Do not pull, okay? So now the hamstring stretch, It's just like bending over and touching your toes, only I want everyone to do it seated, because when you're seated, you don't put as much strain on your low back. Okay? Give me 90 seconds and we'll be done. The bear hug, you're just going to be on your back. You're going to pull your knees up to your chest and just give yourself a big hug. Okay. Now, there's a couple things that everyone is going to get one of these, which it's a monitoring log. Because when we've got a program that I really, really encourage everyone to do, it's very, very simple. You do it 14 days, it just becomes the way you live your life. And so, I've got this chart. It says at the bottom, put a V in the box if you did it. I like V's rather than X's because V's are for victory. That means we accomplished something. And you can pat yourself on the back because you accomplished it for that day. The other thing is that some of these I've ran through very, very quickly on the seven steps. I've got a magazine for everyone here. The magazine, right in the middle of the magazine, has this program outline that I just went through. And so I think it'll be very, very helpful to you. It might say a couple things that I didn't go over that'll be in here that you can take a look at. So do the program, 14 days, improve your energy by 40%. What I would like all of you to do and say, you know, because some of you might be going, I don't know if I really want to do this. On a spiritual application in the world,